appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And I tell you, he's good to us. So much better than what we deserve. I sure thank him for it. And I appreciate you, Pastor, calling me and asking me about helping him out today. I appreciate him having confidence in us, and I hope that the Lord has and will be able to use us to be a help and a blessing to you. I know you'd rather have your pastor here well and able. We'll pray, keep praying for him, that the Lord will touch him and lift him up. I know that God's able to touch him, and I'm sure that he will. I want you to be turning in your Bibles tonight to two passages of Scripture. I want to read a few verses in Exodus chapter number 16, and then I'd like to read some in John's Gospel chapter 6. In Exodus chapter 16, and then I want to read a little bit in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 48. In Exodus chapter 16, we'll begin reading about verse number 12 and read a few verses here this evening for the message. Exodus chapter number 16 and verse number 12. Let me see, I don't believe I cut this. There we go. Is that right now, Brother Danny? Okay. Exodus 16 and verse 12. The Lord said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And then look down in verse 31. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was, was like wafers made with honey. And then in John chapter 6 and in verse number 47, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you've allowed us to be back here this evening, and God, I pray that you could again, Lord, please help us and speak to us and speak through us from your precious word tonight. God, we pray again for Brother Rick. Lord, please touch him. God, lift him up, help him to feel better. Lord, I pray you'd grant, Lord, that he might soon be able to be back here in his pulpit and with his congregation, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll just help us now. Thank you for what you've already done in the service tonight. Thank you for the good singing and the time of prayer and fellowship we've had together. Now I pray, Lord, you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, tonight, if the Lord would help me, I want to preach on Jesus being the true manna. Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. But he said, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven, and if a man eat of me, he will never die. And that bread, that manna in the Old Testament, was really just a picture, an example, a foreshadowing the living bread that would come down in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of ways that manna in the Old Testament reminds us of Jesus and just paints a picture of Jesus for us. There's a lot of types and symbols in the Bible that represent Jesus, especially in the Gospel of John. You know, he's called the Good Shepherd, and he's called the Way, and he's called the Door. He said, I am the Door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. I like that song. Sometimes you hear children sing, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two, inside and outside, on which side are you? And one thing about a door, you can't be on both sides at the same time. You either got to be inside or outside one, amen? And that's the way it is with Jesus. And I hope you're inside that door tonight, praise God. Jesus is portrayed and pictured by this manna in the Old Testament. And I just want to give you three or four ways tonight, if the Lord will help me, on how this manna represents the living bread that came down from heaven. When you think about this manna in the Old Testament, one of the ways that it represents him is how strange it was. There was a lot of strangeness about this bread that fell in the wilderness that we're told about here in Exodus chapter 16. The Bible tells us that in chapter 16 of Exodus and down in verse 15 that the children of Israel saw it and they said to one another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. When they first saw this manna that fell down out of heaven, laying out there on the ground in the wilderness, they didn't know what it was. And that's why they named it manna, because the word manna means, what is it? It means, what is it? And so they named it, what is it? It was strange to them. They couldn't quite figure it out. And you know, if you stop and think about it, it was the same way when Jesus came into this world. He was strange to this world. And they couldn't quite figure out who he was and what he was doing here, because he was the most unusual person that ever came into this world. He wasn't just an ordinary person. He wasn't an ordinary man. But the Bible tells us that he was the God-man. He was not half man and half God, but he was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so he was the strangest man that this world has ever seen. As a matter of fact, they sent soldiers one day to go down and arrest him. And when they heard him speak, they came back and they said, well, why didn't you arrest him? And they said, never man spake like this man spake. And nobody ever talked like he did. He's the strangest man we've ever seen in our life. When he was 12 years old, he sat in the temple and he confounded the doctors and lawyers. And they said, where in the world did he get his education? Well, I'll tell you, he didn't get it from man. But what they didn't know, that there was a greater than Solomon in their midst. Amen. He was the eternal Son of God. You know, the Bible said that he was in the world and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, when writing to Timothy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. There's a great mystery about it. Man couldn't understand it. They couldn't quite figure him out. And when they saw him, you know, when he came on the scene, he asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? And some say, you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And some say you're John the Baptist. In other words, what they were trying to say is, who is he? We don't understand this. We can't identify him, just like the Israelites couldn't identify that manna. And they said, what is it? When Jesus came on the scene, they said, who is this? Who is this man? There was a strangeness about him. One of the reasons he was so strange, and one of the reasons this bread was so strange in the Old Testament, is because of the direction that it came from. You know, when you think about bread tonight, we don't normally associate bread as coming out of heaven. When we think about bread, now I'll tell you what I think about. I think about growing wheat out of the earth and taking the wheat when it's harvested, and you take it somewhere and you have the wheat ground up and make flour out of it. And then you make bread out of the flour. Or if you want corn bread, you grow a crop of corn out of the ground and take the grain and have it ground up and make cornmeal, and then you make corn bread. But it all originates out of the earth. It comes from down here. It's an earthly thing. But this bread is so strange, because this bread he's talking about, this manna in the Old Testament, this bread that represents Jesus, it came down out of heaven. I mean, it rained down out of the sky. And they never seen nothing like that. And so it's the direction it came from. Jesus said, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. But he said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Amen. I'll tell you, salvation did not originate down here on this earth. Salvation doesn't come from down here. Salvation can't be produced down here. Salvation had to originate in heaven, and then the Lord came down here where we were and brought it to us. Amen. I like that old song that says, when I could not come to where he was, praise God, he came to me. He came to us. He came down out of heaven, down to where we were. We couldn't work our way up to him, but praise God, he came down to where we were. Amen. You think about that. Remember in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, man tried to build a tower to reach to heaven. Remember that? And they set out to build him a tower that would reach up to heaven. But listen, you can't get to heaven that way. You can't work your way up to heaven, friend. It doesn't work that way. And God, in order to stop that, what they were doing, the Lord came down and brought confusion to the whole mess. That's when he made the different languages, and everybody got over there one day and started talking, and nobody couldn't understand each other. They was all talking foreign. God just confounded the whole project. And the reason for it is he wanted man to know that you can't build something down here that's going to get you to heaven. No, sir. If you're going to heaven, it has to come from up there, down here to where you are. Amen. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and the Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And remember what it said about it, from the top down to the bottom. God was showing he was opening a way of salvation for lost sinners. And he showed us that it begins at the top and comes down to the bottom. It didn't start down here and go up that way, but it started up there and come down this way. Praise God. It always originates in heaven with the Lord. We can't save ourselves. The Lord had to be the one to save us. Amen. And this is strange bread because it didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven, praise God. And then there's another thing that's strange about it. The description he gave of it. He said, that it was white and it was round. And, you know, I never had too much trouble understanding all of that. But he said something else about this manna. And for years and years and years, I never paid it a bit of mind. And one day I got to reading it, and this word just kind of stuck out, and it began to bother me. He said it was like coriander seed. And I thought, what in the world has that got to do with it? Well, for one thing, I didn't even know at that time what a coriander seed was. I've never heard of it. And I looked up the word coriander in dictionary and in concordance, and it means a cutting from its furrows. And I thought, well, that don't make no sense. But anyway, long story short, one day I was over at my oldest son's house, and I was walking around in the kitchen, and I noticed that my daughter-in-law had a little spice rack on the kitchen counter. And I got looking in that spice rack, and lo and behold, there was a bottle of coriander seed in that spice rack. And I thought, coriander seed, yeah, that's what he was talking about. And I reached in there and got that bottle and poured some out in my hand. And I got to looking at that coriander seed. And you know what I discovered? That all the way around the outer shell of that little tiny seed, it looks like little furrows have been grooved in it all the way around that little coriander seed. Little ridges, little furrows in that seed. And then it hit me. Psalm 129 in verse 2 says that the plowers plowed furrows upon his back. You remember before they put Jesus on the cross, they took him out and they beat his back with a cat of nine tails. And the psalmist said they beat his back till it looked like a new plowed field. They beat furrows in his back. And them little furrows, that coriander seed had them little furrows around it. In other words, when God rained that manna down out of heaven and they picked it up, they probably at that time didn't even realize what it represented. But God was prophesying that that bread would suffer. The living bread would suffer. And he put little furrows in that coriander, in the seed, but he put those same kind of furrows around that manna. And those furrows represented the suffering of the bread of life that his body, not his bones, but his body would be beaten and bruised for me and you. I'm telling you, that's strange bread, friend. That's some strange bread. But not only did it represent Jesus in the strangeness of it, but it represented Jesus in the way it was sent. Now, let me explain what I mean. God did not send this manna to Israel because they had been real good and was pleasing to him. It wasn't that the Lord got up one day and looked down at these Israelites and said, you know, they sure have, I mean, they have really been doing good. I think I'll just bless them with some bread. No, no, no. As a matter of fact, the opposite was true. Look at what the Bible says. The Lord said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. They had rebelled against the Lord. They had grumbled and griped and complained against God. And in response, listen, the bread wasn't sent in response to something good they did. God sent the bread in response to their sin. They sinned against God. They rebelled against the Lord. They grumbled against God. And all of a sudden, he opened up heaven and rained bread down on them. God didn't send Jesus to this world because this world was good. No, no. The Bible says, the Bible said God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. God didn't send Jesus because we were good. He sent Jesus because he's good. Amen. He sent him because he knew that you and me needed a Savior, that we were wicked, wretched sinners, lost and undone and going to hell. And in his mercy and grace, he opened up heaven and he sent us a Savior. Hallelujah. Right. Blessed be his holy name. Praise God. I didn't deserve this bread. Israel didn't deserve that manna. And we didn't deserve Jesus. But God sent him to us because of his goodness, not ours. Oh no. The Lord didn't save me and you because we were good. He saved us because he's good. Bless his name. Not only was this strange bread, but it was like Jesus because the Lord sent it in spite of our sin. Matter of fact, sent it because of our sin, because he knew we needed a Savior. Oh, aren't you glad he did? Praise God, I'm glad he did. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace, his goodness. He didn't give us what we deserved. Amen. He gave us Jesus. And then it was like Jesus, not only in the way it was sent and because it was so strange, but it was like Jesus because of the sweetness of it. The Bible said that it tastes like wafers made with honey. This bread was sweet. He said it tastes like wafers made with honey. You know, you can't get much sweeter than honey. We sing that old song sometime, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Isn't there sweetness in Jesus? Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Hallelujah. 'Tis so sweet to trust in him. I'm telling you, honey, wafers. Now, wonder why that the Lord gave them bread that tastes like honey. You reckon it might be because he was leading them to a land that flowed with milk and honey? Could it be he was just giving them a little taste of what he had waiting over yonder in Canaan land? Could it be he might have been trying to say to them, look here, youngins, if you like the way that tastes, you just wait till you get over yonder across the Jordan. There's a whole land flowing with it, praise God. Yes, just give you a little taste. What's that old song? I can't remember the name of it, but there's a line in it that says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Praise God. Every once in a while, the Lord will just give you a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever get in a service every once in a while? It don't happen all the time, but once in a while, you get in a service and God just gets to squeezing your heart so good and just blessing you. And I mean, the juice starts running down your eyeballs. Man, you just can't hardly take it. You know what I think the Lord's doing in them times? I think he's just giving us a little taste of what he's got waiting on the other side. Praise God. It's kind of like he said, now, if you like that, son, just keep on traveling on, because it ain't going to be long. You'll be in a land that's flowing with it. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yes, sweet. Sweet like Jesus. Yes, he is, isn't he? You know the world feels sorry for us. You know they do, don't they? The world feels sorry for us. They think we're missing out on everything. Reminds me of them two old drunks met up the next day after they had been drunk all night. I mean, they had been drunk, got in a fight, got their brains beat out, went home and threw up half the night. Somebody robbed them of everything they had. And they met up down on the street the next day and looked at each other and said, man, we sure did have a good time last night, didn't we? That ain't no good time. I'll tell you, a good time is getting with God's people in the house of the Lord, and the glory of God comes down, and praise God, heaven comes down, glory fills your soul. You ain't got no hangover the next day. Praise God, you still rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord. I'll tell you, there's sweetness in Jesus. Praise God. And then let me give you this. This bread was like, this manna was like Jesus, the living bread. In the way he had it situated. When it came down, let me just use this illustration. The manna won't near this big or nothing, but we'll just pretend for a minute, all right? We'll just pretend a minute that, let that represent the manna. Isn't it amazing how that God situated this thing so that when that manna fell, it was within the reach of everybody? I mean, there it was, right there. He didn't put it up in the top of a tree somewhere. He didn't even do it like the brazen serpent and put it up on a pole. He put it right down there. And all you had to be willing to do to get it was you had to be willing to bow down. You had to be willing to bend. That every knee should bow. You had to be willing to humble yourself. You had to bend over to get it. You had to bend over. That's all you had to do. But if you wasn't willing to bend, I don't hardly see how you're going to get it. There's a lot of people in this world, the biggest reason they're not saved, they're not willing to bend. They're not willing to bow. You ever heard people, you try to witness to, you ever heard somebody get riled up over it and they'll say something like, "Don't preach to me. I'm telling you, I'll do what I please. I'll go where I want to go. I'll do what I want to do. I'll live my life the way I want to live it, and ain't nobody going to tell me what to do." Well, there's one person in this universe that you will have to bend to if you don't want to go to hell. You may not be interested in what I may tell you or somebody else may tell you, but you're going to have to get interested in what he says to you. And you're going to have to be willing to bow your head to him. Because if you don't bow in this world, you'll wind up bowing in the next one. He said of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Talking about in hell. If you don't bow your knee in this world, you will bow it in the next. You're going to bow. Eventually, everybody is going to bow. So why wait? Why wait till it's too late? Amen. Wouldn't you rather bow now and rejoice with the Lord forever than to refuse to bow in this world and somewhere in the regions of hell wind up bowing your knee in torment and it's going to be too late. Be too late. One more, let me just give you one more little thought and then we're going to pray. You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? When the Bible said that they sowed tares among the wheat. While men slept, they sowed tares among the wheat. And the disciples come to Jesus and they said, "Lord, you want us to go get them tares out of that wheat?" And he said, "Oh, no, no, no. Oh," he said, "you go try to get all them tares out." He said, "You're going to probably tear up a whole lot of good wheat trying to get all them tares out." Because you see, when wheat and tares are real young, when they first start to grow, it's almost impossible to tell the difference. But he said, "Wait till the harvest, because in the harvest the wheat has something that the tares don't have. It's got a wheat ear out the top full of grain, and it makes the wheat top heavy, and when the wind blows across the wheat field, you know what that wheat will do? It'll bow its head before its maker." You know what a real Christian will do? They'll bow before their maker. And that's a way of saying simply this: "Lord, not my will, thy will be done." Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight.